Many hands have been involved, many hearts, lots of giving, and it's an exciting view to see them up there. Because we know that those are boxes filled of hope, and light, and joy. And one day they're going to give somebody a good day. Amen. The day I got saved was an awfully good day. A good day. And one day he's coming back. That's going to be another good day. Amen. Boy, I tell you, what a blessing. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 1. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. I'd like to preach a message this morning I've entitled, Wow, What a God. Wow, What a God. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for an opportunity this morning. Lord, though I am not worthy to be here, I'm awfully thankful. Lord, I don't want to be anything else but a mouthpiece. Lord, people didn't come here to see me. They didn't come here to hear from a man. They came here to hear from God. And Lord, if they don't hear from you today, there may be a home that will be broken today. There may be a heart that will be broken today. Lord, there may be someone here today that is on the brink of destruction. If, Lord, they don't hear from you, Lord, who knows what will happen? So, Lord, we ask, we plead the blood of Christ today and beg that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we need you today. Change us. Lord, may we leave this place changed people, different than when we came in. And Lord, may it glorify you, not only here, but in our community, in our state, in our blessed country, and in our nation, and in our world. And we love you today. We praise you. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible here in Isaiah. What great words we find. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. You know, God wants us to be comforted. God wants us to know that He's in control. Amen. God wants us to know that it's all right, that He hasn't fallen asleep, that He doesn't slumber. He wants us to know that He's got it all together today. You know, our world's falling apart. There's lives and homes falling apart, but our God's not falling apart this morning. Amen? Yes. Comfort ye my people. And he goes on and he says in verse 3 that a voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so he's saying in this passage, there's coming one, his name is John. He's going to prepare the way for my Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to have comfort in that. This passage, I want to go through this passage and I want to give you three truths today. Three truths that we can have comfort this morning in our God. Right. We can have comfort. We can have power. We can have ability this morning because of who He is and what He's done in our lives. This morning, the Bible says further on down the passage, verse number 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. First truth this morning is that the word of God shall stand. It will. Not one word will fall. Not one word will fall. Now, you know what? I've owned a lot of things in my life. I've bought a lot of things, and I've got a lot of things in the house. And you know what? All those things seem to tarnish. All those things seem to rust. All those things seem to fade. All those things seem to go by the wayside. I lose interest in. They don't last long. But I tell you what, this morning I have something today that will stand forever. It will not fade. It will not falter. It will not wither away like the grass. It is the Word of God. And I can have comfort in that this morning, that what my God says is true. It was true yesterday. It'll be true today. And it will be true tomorrow. Amen? We have that promise. We have that truth. And this morning, I want you to be comforted. God wants you to be comforted that we can stand on this book. We can search out the truths. We can search out the principles and the precepts and the statutes and the commandments. And we can apply it to our lives. And as long as this book stands, so will we. As long as we're trusting in God, as long as we're putting our faith in Him, as long as this book stands, we'll stand with it. And you know what? I can be comforted in that this morning. There's been many people that's come against the Word of God. Many people through history have made a stand. They've tried to erase it. They've tried to eradicate it. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to throw it away. But I tell you what this morning, you can pile up all the written word, you can pile up all the Bibles in the whole world, pile them up, pour gasoline on them, and burn them, but it will not change the Word of God. It will stand. It's coming to pass. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Christ has said He's been coming for a long time. He ain't here yet. Well, you better hold on, because He is coming. He is coming. One day those clouds will part, Christ will stand, the trump will sound, and bam, we will be gone.
Amen.
And there will be some left. He is coming. He said it, and it will happen. And I praise God that I can stand firm on the Word of God this morning. I have comfort that the Word of God shall stand, and not one word will fall. Not one word will fall. Comfort ye, my people. I'm comforted this morning that we've put together the Word of God. We've assembled it. Now this is the two books, Book of John, Book of Romans. Evangelistic, those two books. The first book that I tell new Christians to go to is the Book of John. Easier to read, more understandable. Then thirdly, most of your major Bible doctrines are found in those two books, so they can grow. And you know what? I have confidence this morning as these scriptures were put together, as we get ready to send them to the mission field, as the missionary pulls them out of the box, tears go down their face because someone cared enough to send the Word of God, the tool, what will really change the lives of people to them, for their people, will take that book, put it in the hand of someone, and it will affect them. Whether they get saved or not, I know not. But I know that book will affect them. And I know that they'll have an opportunity to find out who this God is. You know what? I fail a lot. My words, I know this may be strange to you, but I've lied in my life. I know that may seem odd. But I've said lies. I've let people down. You know what? To be honest with you, I've let my children down. Promise them to go somewhere and something come up and we don't go. You know what? You can't trust me as far as you can throw me. But you can trust this book. Wow. What a God. He never lies. He'll never steer you in the wrong way. He'll never tell you something and let you down. Wow. What a God. What a God we serve. And what a God of these scriptures in another language that is interested in those people as well as He is us. Wow. What a God. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. I want you to be comforted this morning that the Word of God, not one word, will fall. I also want you to be comforted this morning, not only in the Word of God, but I want you to be confident this morning in the wonders of God. The wonders of God.
You check out verse 12. We're going to stick in verse 12 for a second. Verse 12, Isaiah 40, verse 12, it says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighted the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." You know what, this morning we need a different perspective of God. There are wonders, we call them the wonders of the world. You ever heard of those? There are some modern wonders of the world, but there are some ancient wonders of the world. And what those are is man has built certain structures or certain items. Some of the old wonders or the ancient wonders of the world is the Great Pyramid. Great Pyramid was built over 20 to 30 years. 2 million stones were made to build that Great Pyramid. 2 million stones were hewed out. Each stone weighed approximately 5,000 pounds apiece. They built this great structure, what is known as a great ancient wonder of the world. And when they finished building it, when all the labor was done, they stood back and they said, "Wow, look what man has done." The Hanging Gardens of Babylon was built for one man's love for his wife. They were built because it made her feel at home. The Hanging Gardens were built by Nebuchadnezzar, and when people came and they came from all around, they saw those things, they said, "Wow, look what man has done." But you know what? Each one pales miserably in comparison to what God has done. Let me share with you what that verse says. It says in verse 12, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand." Now, I've got a glass of water here. I'm going to take a quick drink. Just kidding. One poison. This is a perspective of our God. Okay? Now, this is my hand. It didn't say he measured them out in his hand. It said it measured them out. He measured them out in the hollow of his hand. That's the little part right there. Perspective. It's okay. I won't dump it on you. Now, I've got water in the hollow of my hand. You know what that verse tells me? That God says, "You know what? I think the Pacific Ocean needs a little water. I think I need to put some in the Atlantic." That's the perspective of our God. It says he measured out the waters in the hollow of his hand. Does it not? Can we not stand on the Word of God? Mediterranean Sea. We'll get you a little there. That's how big my God is. You know what that tells me? I'll get a little water on the carpet. I'm sorry. You know what that tells me? My God's an awesome God. And you know what? He's got big hands. My God's got big hands. And my God can handle it. My God can take care of it. Those big hands can reach down and comfort you when you're having problems. The same hands that can measure out the waters in the hollow of his hands wants to reach down and be a God to you. Those hands were big enough to pay for the sins of the world. You think about it. My God's got big hands. And he can handle it. It says he measured out the waters in the hollow of his hands and meted out the heavens as a span. You want to know exactly how big heaven is? It says he measured out heaven, not the heavens. He says he measured out or he meted out heaven in a span. They say a span is about 18 inches, about from here to here, on a man. God says he meted out or he measured out heaven in a span. Heaven is about here to here to God. Isn't that great? He's an awesome God. We use that awfully loosely, and it's hard to describe Him. But Isaiah's trying to give us a perspective, help us to understand who He is. It's not a big chore for Him. You can go through, it says that He meted out the heaven with a span. He comprehended the dust of earth in a measure. How many of you ladies baked a cake before and you took a measure of flour, or you put it in a bowl? How about putting the dust of the earth in a measure? Our God did. That's what He said. He said, comprehended the dust of earth in a measure and weighted out the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Our God is an awesome God. He says in verse 13, who directed the Spirit? He asked another question. Who directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, had taught Him? With whom took He counsel, or who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Who in here has ever taught God anything? Did Freud ever teach God anything? Who can instruct God? Our God's not only awesome, He's infinite in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Amen. He knows it all. He's got it all. He understands it all. He knows your problems. He knows where you live. He knows the hairs on your head. He's God. Right. Wow. What a God. I got to skip to verse 15. I got to move with this. This right here shocked me. The Bible says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Now I happen to have a bucket up here. And I want to give you a perspective of the nations. The Bible says the nations are as a drop of a bucket. You want to see what the nations look like to God? There it is. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? You see it? You see it? You got it under perspective there? Hard to see from here. Hello? Wake up. The nations are as a drop of the bucket. You know, we look at the Great Commission and we say, oh God, why did you put such a heavy burden on us? We can't reach the world. How can we do that? How can we go out and preach the gospel to every creature? How can we reach all the nations? And God says, it doesn't look that small, that big to me. Hello? You know, we need God's perspective. We say 6 billion people in the world, that's a lot of people. And God says, now where are they again? Oh, there they are. God's not going to give us a goal or a challenge or a commandment that He cannot fulfill through us. We can reach the world. We can preach to every creature the gospel. We can, church. We just got to stop looking at it at our perspective. That's an awesome thought. Now let me say this as a sideline. Many of you came in here with problems. You know, I got issues in my life. I'm heartbroken over some certain areas in my life. I've got needs. I've got areas that I need help in. And if the nations look like this to God, you think He can handle your problem and mine? He's more than capable. More than capable. More than capable. It's just a drop in a bucket to Him. Wow. What a God. He measured out the waters in the hollow of His hand. Meted out heaven in a span. Measured the mountains and the hills. Who can instruct Him? Infinite in power and wisdom. Nothing is too great for Him. Nothing is too great for Him. It's His wonders. And you know what? When we get a hold of that, all we can do is stand back and say, wow, what a God. Wow, what a God. Let's skip down. We can go through all those verses. It talks about the gods of the world in verse 19. It says in verse 18, who can liken, to whom then will he liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare him? And he goes through to the idols that are made, and there's no comparison to our God. You cannot come anywhere close to the God of this book. And then it says in verse 26, says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, we can trust in the Word of God, we can have comfort in the truth that the Word of God, not one will fall. We can trust in the wonders of God, because not one will fail. Not one will fail. Lastly, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Folks, this morning, not only the Word of God, not one will fall. The wonders of God, not one will fail. But the ways of God, not one waiter will faint. You know, he is not the man upstairs. He is not in a wheelchair this morning. God's not on crutches. He's not an old man. He's not crippled. He's not walking around saying, I wonder if I can help him. He is the God Almighty. He's powerful. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. And my God will not faint. You may faint, you may get tired, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He's just as strong today as he was in everlasting past, and just as strong as he will be in everlasting present. And that gives me comfort this morning, because as I wait on him, he will renew my strength. Yes. Now let me phrase that for you. Let me help you understand that. I do not believe that the Bible says, I just don't believe that the Bible says to do this. Lord, I got a problem. Where are you at? I'm waiting. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I'm waiting. You know what a waiter is? You go to a restaurant, somebody comes up and says, can I help you? Would you like some more tea? Would you like some clean silverware? What would you like for me to do? You know, I believe that that's the biblical perspective of that. Lord, I'm faint. Lord, I've got problems. Lord, I've got issues. What do you need me to do? Lord, can I teach a Sunday school class? Can I drive a bus? Can I go out and witness? Lord, what do you need for me to do? They that wait upon the Lord, you know what's going to happen? Their strength will be renewed. Now I'll give you the illustration. From what Pastor tells me, for 20 years, you've been waiting on that land. Is that correct? Waiting on a piece of property. You've been waiting. You've been waiting and waiting. What have you been doing while you're waiting? You've been working. You've been building Sunday school classes. You've been teaching. You've been training. You've been witnessing. You've been driving boat. Lord, we're waiting on you. And when it's your time, guess what? We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. That's the application, folks. We just got to get busy. Lord knows we got problems. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Let's see. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And does it say, and all these things shall be added unto you in that verse? That verse starts out and says, you read the text, that the world seeks after these things. Then he says, and I know that you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. See, the world has a need, but they're going to fill it their way. God knows you have a need, but he wants you to trust him. And if we will first seek the kingdom of God, then we shall mount up with wings as eagles. We shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. What's our conclusion? The word of God, not one will fall. The wonders of God, not one will fail. And the ways of God, not one waiter will faint. You say this morning, but I've got problems. My God can handle it. Why don't you bring him to the altar today? You say, I'm not saved. I don't know this God. I want to give you a perspective that you stand back and say, wow, what a God. We've got to get this in perspective, folks. If God says his word will not fail or fall, then don't you think we ought to invest in it? Don't you ought to think it's probably one of our best investments? Don't you think passing out a tract is a pretty good investment? Or witnessing to your neighbor, pretty good investment? It's the word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Would you stand with me this morning? In just a moment, we're going to start our invitation. But there may be one here today that has never in their life come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? His grace is sufficient. There's not a sin that his blood cannot cover. Maybe there's someone today that's going through issues and problems. They'd like to find a spot on the altar today and say, God, you're big enough, and I'll wait. What do you want me to do? Maybe there's someone here today that says, you know, I got a lost friend, I got a lost neighbor, and I need to go talk to. There's no one better in the world to talk to him about than the God of this book. You say, I've got areas in my life that I'm not able to trust. Tithe or missions or an area of service. Why don't you just say, Lord, I give it to you today. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, as we start this invitation, Lord, if there's one here today that you've spoken to, that you've sat down next to, that you've come across and spoke to their heart, Lord, I pray that they would come this morning. Come to a God that we can say, wow, what a God. I ask these things in Jesus' name, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing a song of invitation. If you're here and without Christ, we urge you to come. Receive Jesus as your Savior. If there's something you're facing as a Christian, you need to talk to that awesome God. Why don't you come up and talk to him for a while as we sing?
Thank you.
bow our heads as the piano player continues to play. You know, we try to carry all these things on our own.
Yes.
We do. We just try to carry all these things on our own. Yes. And yet there's a great, mighty, powerful God.
Yes.
And He's waiting there with all the strength and all the wisdom of Him. And He's saying, let me help you.
Yes.
Hey, I can help you with that. Why don't you give that to me? Let me help you with that. He's waiting here this morning. Are you saved? Aren't you tired of carrying that burden of sin? Isn't it time to come to a Savior who can wash and heal you and forgive you and cleanse you and born you into His family? Maybe you're a saved person. And we all needed that reminder, didn't we? Didn't we need that, folks? How wonderful and powerful and great our God is. But here we are. We're going to get through today and we're going to get through tomorrow. We're going to get through this week on our own. We're going to carry this. We're going to make it. Because we just got to. And I think God so many times says, hey, would you just let me help you? Just let me help you with that. Brother Money's going to come, and we're going to conclude the service in, I think, a very special way. And then after we finish with what you're going to do, we'll ask you to remain real quickly while we baptize. So go ahead.
Amen. You may be seated. This week we've done something very exciting. This weekend we invested 2.5 hours on Friday night, 2.5 hours on Saturday. In ratio, every hour you produced 2,000 books of John Romans. In 5 hours you completed 10,000 books. You've done it together. You've done it in unity. And that's pretty exciting. We've accomplished much. Right now we're going to show you what happened this last couple of days. This is you. Now, don't be offended if for some reason you don't see yourself. Brother Demarest and I painstakingly tried to get everybody in there. We may see a pinky or a... Well, anyway. I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And as soon as we get done with the video, I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to gather around the Scriptures as a church body. Whether you had an opportunity to come or not, we want you to come. We're going to pray over these. We're going to dedicate them and ask God to use them in a mighty way. This is not the finished point. This is halfway. But may this be a blessing to you.
All come together, a world of souls to feed, putting forth their labor, bearing precious seed, committed to a wondrous plan, salvation's gift to every land. Their eyes may never see the people they have reached, their feet may never stand on the shores of foreign lands, but their fingerprints are all around the world, touching precious lives who have never heard. It may seem a simple thing, sending out God's word, but there are people out there who need a Bible they can read. Please help us plant the seed. Pray. they may never cross the border, sail past the shining seas, witness to a crippled man in the language of Chinese, never hung a hungry child in a land where famine runs wild, never preach the gospel news to a people called the Jews, never tell an Indian that salvation's work is done. But their fingerprints are all around the world, touching precious lives who have never heard. It may seem a simple thing, sending out God's word, but there are people out there who need a Bible they can read. Please help us plant the seed, spreading fingerprints around the world. Bible they can read. Please help us plant the